This is the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast on Abe Lincoln's birthday. It's the 12th of February, 2025. Good morning. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online at ffbt.com. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller have the news today, including a dive into where farmland values are headed and a fungicide to consider in your corn crop planning for 2025. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is calling for a messy period in Indiana weather. And yesterday, the grains and oil seeds worked higher before the USDA February WASD update sent them back down. We'll have Arlen Suderman commentary coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Keystone Cooperative's equipment auction continues this February on Purple Wave. Bid on a 2015 John Deere R4038 applicator, fertilizer delivery trucks, and more farm-ready machinery. With no reserve online auctions, top quality equipment from Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan is just a click away. Visit purplewave.com today, your trusted farm auction solution. Purple Wave, where smart farmers find the perfect fit.
Projections on farmland prices and defending your yield potential this year. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, reporting on the latest news in agriculture on Hoosier Ag Today. We all saw the headlines about record prices for farmland not that long ago. Where are they headed now? Howard Halderman is president of Halderman Real Estate and Farm Management.
So farmland values peaked all-time high based upon our data in 2022. That was also the best farm income year in the U.S. history. So it stands to reason that we saw high values then. We've declined maybe 2-3% off that all-time high, and 23, 24, and 25 have been very consistent values, very steady over the last 3 years.
Halderman says that as it stands now, steady is the theme as we move ahead in 2025.
We're not moving up significantly in value, but we're also not declining. Friends of ours in the Western Corn Belt are actually seeing some declines, maybe 5 or 10%. We're not seeing that yet in the Eastern Corn Belt.
If we were to see some movement, either to the upside or the downside, Halderman explains what would be behind that move.
So right now, interest rates are one factor, and I don't think they move much. I think interest rates are probably going to be staying pretty stable to where they are, from what I hear.
So it would come down to farm incomes, both the yield and the price.
I think it's going to come down heavily, weighted on commodity prices. Maybe yields to some degree, but assuming an average yield, which is all we can do here February 1st, you're looking at what commodity prices do. And I think that's going to be the biggest influence as we go over the next 90 to 180 days.
You can find upcoming auctions and property listings at halderman.com. There's a link on our website as well, hoosieragtoday.com. If you're getting ready to put some corn in the ground here in the next several months, I bet you're already thinking about disease management and defending your yield potential for 2025. C.J. Miller has more on a brand of fungicides that you might want to consider for this year.
One thing with farming that's predictable is unpredictability, right? We know there's going to be challenges during the season. Diseases are one of them. But we don't know from year to year what diseases are going to be the problem.
And that's Adam Byrne, Technical Service Manager with FMC. He says that disease pressure for corn crops is no longer a matter of if, but when.
Protecting those corn plants early on proactively is really important because it gives you that leg up when those problems arise. And that's where Xyway is a really big fit, because it is something that we put on at planting. It has that systemic inside-out protection, and then as diseases rear their ugly heads, we've already got that protection there. So that proactive protection for something we know is going to happen, we just don't know exactly when, is really valuable.
He says that Xyway brand fungicides offer a unique form of disease protection.
You know, when we think about fungicides for disease management, we're thinking about foliar applications, but Xyway is something we can put down at planting. It's taken up by the roots and translocated through that plant season long. So it moves through the vascular tissue and it gets translocated into the leaf tissue all season long, so that inside out protection. You know, we don't think of season-long protection with other fungicides. So you can put it down at planting, it's moved through the plant, it's there to protect you from those diseases when they arise, and that flexibility to time other applications to when diseases start appearing.
Byrne talks more about the additional benefits of Xyway brand fungicides in a brand new video, which you can find at HoosierAgToday.com. You can also learn more at the FMC website, ag.fmc.com. I'm CJ Miller.
All right, CJ, thanks. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the free Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. Just search Hoosier Ag Today in your app store. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Calling all organic grain farmers. Make plans to attend the Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting February 19th at the Beck Ag Center in West Lafayette. Explore the trade show for organic farming products and services. Network with fellow organic farmers and get your certification questions answered. Register online by searching Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting or call Ashley Adair 765-496-6362. This message brought to you by Purdue Extension and the Indiana Organic Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got a mess headed towards us here for your Wednesday. Clouds increasing already today, and a weather system that's caused havoc out in the Central Plains is also bearing down on us. Here's how this is going to work over the next 24 to 36 hours. Increasing clouds this morning into midday. Temperatures trying to moderate a little bit, especially over southern parts of the state. Precipitation starts to work into western Indiana this afternoon, continues through late afternoon, evening, and overnight. Low pressure is tracking from northern Louisiana through northern Mississippi into central Kentucky and eventually crossing Ohio. That track means that we are in the cold sector for most of what's going on here, but I am concerned about some warm air overrunning cold air trapped at the surface. So I think in southern Indiana, we're likely looking at mostly rain out of this today. But in the central Indiana area, we can see a definite band of ice with overrunning here, warm air overrunning a cold surface. Rain falls through, freezes on things at the surface. I think that's what we're looking at, especially as we move past the sunset and through the nighttime hours. Then you get into northern Indiana. I think we're predominantly looking at wet snow here, anywhere from 1 to 4, maybe 5 inches across the region. It all adds up to spell out a mess for tomorrow morning. With this precipitation coming through, rain, ice, snow, we have all of it. Here's the problem. This ice band is going to be a highly localized thing, which means 1 degree can make a heck of a lot of difference. So I'm casting a fairly wide band for potential ice. At the end of the day, I don't think that all of us see significant ice potential, but we have to cast this wide range because it will definitely come down to location by location by location as to how the temperatures really play out. In any case, we're done with everything by mid-morning tomorrow morning, and we should be on our way to, honestly, a decent finish to the week. Partly sunny skies trying to emerge for Thursday afternoon. We are partly to mostly sunny underneath Canadian high pressure for Friday. Yes, it's cold, but we get some sunshine. Temperatures moderate into the weekend. That's moderating just enough for us to see another round of moisture come in here. Mostly rain, but you know what I'm going to say. Also some ice and snow potential in there. Liquid equivalent precipitation anywhere from a tenth all the way up to one full inch. I think that moisture is winding down and getting out of here by Sunday mid-morning. We are cold behind it for Sunday afternoon, Monday into Tuesday of next week. And then another weather system tries to come in at midweek next week with better snow potential, at least on the current track. But we're going to have to watch and see whether this low really does want to stay that far south. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Buckle up, a wild ride here with these weather systems the next week, week and a half or so. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
A sell-off on USDA WASDE Day. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. We'll have all the final numbers coming up from a day that did finish in a sell-off. First market analysis, and for that I turn to Arlen Suderman of Stone X right at the end of the session. February reports, Arlen, oftentimes not real market movers, and for the most part that was the case again on Tuesday, although the markets did start to slide after the release after picking up about nickel gains. Take us inside the numbers. There were some changes, and just how much did those changes make a difference in the market in your opinion?
Yeah, USDA did cut Argentine and Brazilian corn production by 1 million metric tons for each of them. And they cut Argentina's soybean production by 3 million metric tons, left Brazil where they were at 169 million metric tons. The cuts to corn and soybeans in Argentina because of adverse weather they've had, although that weather is certainly improving and it's certainly early enough in the growing season that they can benefit from that change in the weather pattern. Brazil, they cut the corn production for a crop that's just getting planted because it's going in the ground maybe 10 days late. So that was a little bit surprising. They certainly don't do that in the United States for the U.S. crop. But even though they made those cuts, they made no changes to USDA's domestic corn and soybean balance sheets. No increases in exports because of the decreased production in South America. They changed the wheat domestic balance sheet by 4 million bushels by increasing food usage. And so that went down to the bottom line, but that still left us with large supplies of 794 million bushels. World stocks were cut for corn, soybeans, and wheat, but the bottom line is we didn't change anything in the bottom line in the U.S., and so therefore no need to ration demand with higher prices. The market was disappointed and it reacted negatively.
And the reaction negatively was to the tune of about nickel gains going to roughly steady for corn and soybeans after the report. But then another nickel loss after that from steady for the markets as the session wore on. What do you make of that?
Yeah, managed money or the funds had built some significant long positions in corn, getting up close to record territory, leaving that market somewhat vulnerable. Soybeans, they had some modest long positions there. Wheat, they've been covering recent shorts. But corn's been the real driver in this market of late. And the funds got nervous without anything fresh from USDA. They don't make money just hanging around at the current prices. So they started taking some profits. And then soybeans didn't have corn to prop it up. Nothing from the USDA reports to justify holding prices at these levels. It doesn't mean that we totally fall apart here. I think the key question now is, will the funds come back in and defend their positions the rest of the week, or will they allow things to continue to sell off?
And being a relatively quiet USDA report, do we now move on from that and trade other things than the report?
Yeah, the focus, I think, now shifts to what kind of weather pattern are we going to see for the Brazil winter corn crop, or commonly known as the Safrinha corn crop. It's going in the ground now. How is that going to shape up? And then what do we get out of USDA's planting intentions report for March 31? That survey takes place around March the 1st. And of course, we have the outlook form between now and then at the end of February. I have little confidence in the results that come out of that outlook form, but there's a lot of market talk about it that will occupy trading.
And any daily sales that are announced could also be a boost to the corn and bean markets. And what are the possible prospects there in the coming days and weeks?
Soybean export shipments were strong, well above the seasonal pace needed at USDA's target, but they've dropped off dramatically over the last month. And if that continues, that will continue to be bearish. If it recovers, then we could see some strength there. On the corn side, we continue to increase that gap. Right now, we're seeing marketing year-to-date corn export shipments exceed the seasonal pace needed to hit USDA's target by 140 million bushels, and that continues to expand. So if that continues, then I think we'll see more pressure on USDA to increase its export target in the next month or two, further cutting ending stocks.
Arlen Suderman there, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX and StoneX.com. On the Hat Tuesday Farm Market Review, the final numbers, March corn losing 7.5 cents, dipping to 484, May 498 down 6.5, July corn 501.25, 6.25 lower, March beans 6 cents down at 1043.5, May 1060.25, a nickel and a quarter lower, July 4.5 down 1076, and 2.5 cents off on the March and May wheat contracts. March ends at 577, May 590. Meats mixed in a big way, too. April live cattle 196 even, down $2.12. But April lean hogs up $1.35, $92.97. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.